When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Finding high-quality mental health care can be daunting and exhausting. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, depression, insomnia, stress, grief, big life changes, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can now use FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Jessie Cruikshank, and I've always been told I have a face for podcasting. So I launched a podcast. It's called Phone a Friend because each week I'll break down the biggest stories in pop culture. But when I have questions, I get to phone a friend. I'll phone a royal watcher to find out why Prince Harry is acting like a real housewife. I'll phone a tween to please explain Euphoria. And maybe I'll even phone a Backstreet Boy to find out if I still have a chance. I don't? Okay. New episodes drop every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. And we're doing it today.
Second time in a year.
Yeah, they're back. They're back. We're going to the movies again. And we're going to see a movie that we could watch for free at home, or as part of our existing subscription at Disney Plus, because it's now available. So FYI, Raya and the Last Dragon is available for all of you Disney Plus subscribers to watch, or you can have a nice family day out like we're intending to do at an early morning screening with our two boys. That's the plan.
It's a brave new world. Basically, you can catch effectively any movie now on streaming service or cinema, so it's a choice, and for us, we'll always choose cinema. I also don't actually think there's much of a price difference, because we're going to a really early morning screening with the boys in a few minutes, and
yeah, worked out at like 24
quid for the four of us.
Yeah.
Whereas to rent it on Disney Plus, I believe, is like almost 20 quid.
No, that's when it was released in simultaneously with cinemas.
Right.
So back in March. It is now available. It's just there. If you have Disney Plus, you can go watch it.
No, I still want to go and see it on the cinema. Yeah. Wherever we can, we will always go to the cinema. But we're so excited because, okay, our son Oscar went to the cinema loads as a little kid, but he doesn't remember it. Like, I've asked him, he doesn't remember, because the last time we went was Onward, which was late February last year, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So he's too
little. Long time in the life of a three-year-old.
Yeah. And then the baby, Elliot, has only ever been once to see Onward when
he
was
doesn't
like
remember anything.
3 weeks old. And he spent most of that movie shitting and vomiting on me.
So hopefully a little bit better than last time. I'm so excited because I think they're at an age now, they both are, where we know Oscar watches movies from beginning to end. Elliot's a total wild card. So we're kind of anticipating that one of us might have to step out of the cinema because it's not quite, it's definitely not appropriate to have a screaming one-year-old in there. So if it gets out of hand, one of us is going to...
But it's 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. It's going to be all families there. And the beauty of it also being on Disney Plus is if one of us misses chunks of it, we can catch it later.
Go back and watch it at home.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm so excited. This is basically all I want as a parent, is to bring my kids to the cinema and for them to experience the joy of it. So we're... And totally thrilled.
And I'm looking forward to this movie.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it. Like, I have heard no buzz about this movie, no one talking about it, and I've not even seen a trailer.
It's not a lot of buzz, but it's getting good, like, reviews. It's from, like, I really trust Disney Animation Studios, whatever they're called, as much as, if not more, than Pixar lately.
Interesting.
Think of just the bangers that they've put out in the last 10 years.
I mean, Moana, I'll never forget.
Moana, Tangled, Frozen 1 and 2, Zootropolis, awesome movie.
Yeah, right.
They're real bangers. So, and I'm interested in an original property, which this looks to be.
Yeah,
at least
same.
I'm not aware of it being.
Okay, can't wait. Better go.
Let's go. Okay,
right,
see you soon. Bye.
Let's catch you up. My name is Raya. Our lands have been at war for as long as we can remember. Our people never see eye to eye.
My daughter, I believe our people can come together again, but someone has to take the first step.
Now, in order to restore peace, we must find the last dragon.
I wish to join this fellowship of butt-kickery.
Let's go. We'll have to watch our backs. We're not the only ones looking. 6 years of searching. Please, let this be it. Almighty Sisu!
Who said that?
We really need your help.
I'm gonna be real with you. I'm not, like, the best dragon. Have you ever done, like, a group project, but there's, like, that one kid who didn't pitch in as much, but still ended up with the same grade?
We're doomed.
Hi guys, we're back. So we went to see Raya and the Last Dragon this morning with our two boys. They're not with us now, but we are out for a walk by ourselves because they weren't interested in podcasts.
I actually tried to get Oscar to podcast and he had no interest.
No.
Yet whenever we're doing it and we aren't inviting him on, he really is interested. So that's the life of parenting. I said,
that's
what do
enough.
You think about the movie? Trying to coax a review out of him. And he said, nothing! Which is untrue because he absolutely loved the movie.
He did. He was invested. Oh my God, right. So the whole experience of sitting as a family, just the four of us in the cinema, just lovely. I just love
it.
This is what I live for.
Because there was a short film in front of this, which was really lovely, which made me cry anyway.
Called Us Again, I believe it was called.
Really,
it was really beautiful.
And I forgot they did short movies, so that just felt like such a bonus. And then that was making me cry. And then I looked over and, like, Elliot was on your lap and then Oscar was sitting between us. And I was just like, I can't describe, I was pure joy. It was like utter and like probably the happiest I've felt in a really long time, just like having us all there together. And for a 1.5-year-old, I don't know whether we should be disturbed or not, but Elliot watched most of the movie.
Yeah.
And like, that's pretty freaky.
Was enthralled. Because I don't think Oscar would have done that at that age. Because he sat, and it was so cute. So the seat was wide enough that me and Elliot were able to sit in the same seat.
Yeah, what a waste buying him his own ticket,
He sat next to me, and he just, like, looked. He was just, like, amazed at this giant thing in front of him. Absolutely enthralled. For about an hour and... It's a long movie, by the way.
It's 2 hours.
It's a little bit long for them, but... But he made, like, he did a bit of wandering around the front of the cinema in the last bit. But the he was good as gold.
We didn't miss any. And then Oscar, who's 3.5, absolutely loved it.
Oh, he didn't.
He also enjoys mild terror. And he said at one point, this is a bit scary. And I said, are you okay? Do you want to cuddle? And he said, no, it's okay. It's just a little bit scary. And yeah, he loved it because it's all about dragons, etc. I'm not sure how much of it he got, but he certainly loved it. But
there
loved
are
it
some,
too.
There are some sort of menacing... cloudy villains in this, I will describe them as, which I think are a little bit scary, and there's a couple of jump scares here. So it's parental guidance for a reason. Know your own child, and kind of know what they're sort of up for. But yeah, Oscar loved it, and he was just enthralled. And as you say, it was just lovely to look over at him and have this sort of... This is why cinema is so good. It's this, like, immersive, shared experience.
Exactly. It's not like that when they watch movies. I mean, Elliot doesn't watch movies at home, but Oscar does. And, like, yes, he's watching a movie. He enjoys it, but he's also climbing on the sofa, like, jumping off the armchair, playing with toys.
Yeah.
And this is like, no, you sit and you immerse yourself in the experience. And, yeah, he was like, this is such a big TV.
Oh, it's magic.
Oh,
it is, like, magic.
That.
So good to be back.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's so good. Like, it just fills your... You know, you asked him, he didn't want to do a podcast, but you asked him what was his favourite bit, and he said, the big screen.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when you think about it, it's like, it's amazing. The big screen, it just fills your entire vision. As you say, you sit there, there's nothing else to do. You just get immersed in the story. And this is a good movie. It's a really good movie.
It's so beautiful. We always say this anyway, but I'm really glad we did see it in the cinema because... It's so beautiful.
Oh, same. I don't think
stunning.
RTV would have done
justice
to it.
No, RTV isn't good enough. It's just like, there's so much going on. It's like this full, like, tapestry of Asian cultures and mythology. And, like, for anyone who doesn't know, a very brief overview of the plot is it's about... But if you don't know, go watch it on Disney Plus or in the cinema. A young girl called Raya, and she's... basically part of a family whose job it is to, like, protect this jewel. It's very
protect a MacGuffin.
Protect a MacGuffin, which is a jewel, which is like magic, dragon magic. And there's one dragon left in the world, and she is tasked with finding that dragon. One could guess from the title whether or not she finds the dragon.
There's the movie needs to be 2 hours long. Firstly, I think so.
And it's quite a complex plot.
It needs to set up a lot, and there's not a wasted minute here.
No.
And I think it justifies 2 hours, and because there's also quite a lot of characters. There's also quite a bit of world building to do, and I was really impressed with how economical they made all that while keeping it entertaining at the beginning.
And it's that classic, like, me and Dave both love fantasy books, and like, this is such good fantasy because you've set up, there's always like very kind of specific sects or sectors or races in a fantasy book, and they very clearly set up like the five different races in this culture and how they're governed and what they're like, and then we see them all in the world like in kind of a map format, like a fantasy way, but it's all very much like desert hues and vibes, and they just lay it all out brilliantly. And while it is a complex story, like, kids can follow it for sure.
Yeah,
but I felt like as a fantasy fan, it was really wonderful. I loved it, the whole setup. And then how they drew the dragon was really unexpected to me. I've not really seen a dragon illustrated like that before.
It was reminiscent of, personally, some of that long, slender dragon that you see in a sort of Chinese New Year celebrations.
Yeah, that's true.
And that kind of thing. It feels like it sort of starts there. But yeah, certainly really interesting and sort of elegant sort of movements, and Awkwafina doing the voice.
Awkwafina's so good.
It was the most distinct voice ever. Like, that, so she's got kind of a raspy voice, and as soon as she spoke, I was like, oh, Awkwafina.
So distinctive, which is why in the movie you didn't see, Jumanji 2, at some point, she's voicing, I can't remember, but her voice goes, no, she's voicing a male actor, I think. Anyway, it was really funny. I cannot remember, but it was so distinctive when she did it. But yeah, I just loved it. And like, I love the main character, Raya, and I love her,
she's
like, folly,
brilliant.
Her kind of, her nemesis. I won't say who that is, but like, I really enjoyed.
We'll get to spoilers soon.
Yeah, I really enjoyed like all of them. She's like fully well-rounded, awesome, clever, athletic, whole rounded female characters. Like, I was so proud to be sitting in the cinema and like my two sons watching this incredible cast of characters, predominantly female, and there is no mention of them being female.
Well,
there's none of these things which you'd often expect in a movie like that, like, oh well, a woman can't rule or whatever. There's none of that. Like, there's not even a discussion around feminism. It's just all takes place with these, some characters are female, some characters are male. Grand.
Which is kind of the backdrop of Mulan, I believe, and I'm not as familiar with that story, but that's, you know, a woman pretending to be a man in a man's world, right?
Yeah, that's not this.
And I had a similar thought when I was watching it, and I was just thinking how awesome it is now. And I know everyone can sort of criticize, companies trying to be woke and making mistakes and all this, because they're a big multinational corporation with a big checkered past, Disney. However, at least they're making these. Look, at least we're moving in a direction where we were able to sit in a very big commercial movie. So it was the seventh highest grossing film of 2021, right? In which it's all Asian voice cast, a celebration of Southeastern Asian culture, and yeah, lead women doing awesome stuff. And it's not even a question, right? It's not a point of interest.
Yeah.
It just is.
And you know, they do this amazing, like, fight sequences, like really incredibly choreographed, and like, I was just so happy that Oscar was watching it, like, with mainly women doing it, because like, he loves sword fighting and stuff, and I'm very conscious of like a lot of the cartoons he likes watching, you know, the obvious one being like Paw Patrol, where there's like four boys and a token girl who gets to do nothing. But he's just so often getting this message that like, boys do the fun stuff and girls don't.
Yeah, gender,
like, just,
gender bias is alive and well,
exactly,
in children's TV.
As is racial bias.
Yeah.
Because so many of the characters, like, even if they're cartoons, they're like voiced by white actors, etc. So for him to just, like, I just was so happy about the whole thing, to be honest, about him watching it. But just for us, if we'd been there with the kids, we'd have loved it anyway.
Oh, it's excellent. Guys, if you're listening and you don't have kids, go watch this.
Yeah.
Like, it's it's an excellent movie, not just an excellent Disney movie.
I would consider it Moana level good. And Moana was, like, by the way, my favourite movie of the year it came out. Except it doesn't have a song. And, like, for me, a Disney song, I want the I Want song. That's, like, a real trope of that genre. And, like, I wouldn't have minded if she'd had a song, have to say. Albeit the tone of it was different and she's, like, a teenager. But yeah, wouldn't have minded it.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. I hadn't really considered it till you just mentioned it. But yeah, this is not a musical.
No.
Which is kind of against type for Disney. But I guess they have to make that choice. I'd be interested to hear the rationale for that decision. Because
yeah,
I think it works. For me, I wasn't missing. At no point was I thinking like, oh, I'd love a musical number here.
I wasn't
I was
either.
Quite enveloped
in a musical number, the way the film's made, a musical number would not have been appropriate. Like, it's an extremely bleak landscape and she's got like a very big task to do.
And it's also... I don't think there's any room in this movie for musical numbers. Like, you add in five musical numbers, you've
well,
added 20 minutes
to
your running
time. Like, Frozen's only like 90 minutes long. That's got loads of musical numbers.
Yeah.
It's a creative choice. And I didn't miss it whilst watching it either. It's only on reflection. I'm like, oh, just because I was thinking of Moana.
I am Raya.
I just love Moana music. So, yeah.
That should be there to just use that music for every new movie they do.
Yeah, exactly.
I am Buzz Lightyear.
I just want, like, Oscar, like, he already has Moana toys, but, like, I want him to get Raya toys as well. Like, she's really cool.
She's badass.
Yeah, she's
like,
amazing.
Brilliant, like... well, can we go to spoilers now?
Let's go to spoilers,
talk some specifics.
Yeah.
So, spoilers now for Raya and the Last Dragon, which you should all go and watch somehow. So, I, like, from that, like, intro, that sort of Temple of Doom, brilliant, like, securing the traps thing, you get this... You get this sense of young Raya as this brilliant, accomplished kind of... fighter, assassin, thief, and she's got charismatic. She's got a little cute Disney animal sidekick.
Oh my god, the cute Disney animal!
Tuk-tuk.
They always have to have one, and I love that it was called Tuk Tuk, which is like the cars when you're in Thailand or like the rickshaw.
Yeah, things. the little sort of a very dangerous taxi service,
yeah.
Which we got that time. But the Tuk Tuk, by the way, I discovered on a quick IMDb look, is voiced by Alan Tudyk. For some reason,
who's Alan Tudyk?
Oh, you'd know him from Firefly.
Okay,
and yeah, he was in that alien show we watched recently, the pilot of, where he was an alien on Earth. You know that
great
guy?
Great descriptor.
Great, thank you. So, yeah, I just think she's a badass character. Do you know what she and the whole thing reminded me of? It was The Legend of Korra and Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, yeah, and they're amazing.
Because she's very, like, very similar character to Korra in many ways. This sort of stubborn cynicism... Very accomplished fighter.
Like, she survives for 7 years in a barren wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
All on her own. And I love
so
how
cool.
It's like, she doesn't trust anyone. She won't eat food. Anyone's cooked. She won't engage with anyone. And that's why she has survived. But then, of course, that's also why she can't thrive. She needs to let people in from the five countries so they can all unite to... What was the word again?
There's a name for the utopian single country they used to be. Begins with K.
Yeah.
Anyway, the... Yeah, no, exactly. I liked the theme of this movie, which is humans are better together than apart.
And
it was interesting that it's a little bit heavy-handed, perhaps, but it is a Disney
movie.
It's a kids movie. Yeah, so I actually really liked that.
Ask Oscar what happened in this movie, he will not tell you it was about trust.
No.
He'll say
there was a dragon.
Yeah.
And why did the dragons take so long to come on? Was his other comment.
Yeah, he did say a few times, Mummy, where's the
where
dragon?
Where are the dragons? I was promised dragons! The theme of this movie, yeah, of this sort of like trust and them learning to be trustworthy despite, you know, obvious betrayals and overcoming that, it works as a really great character arc. It works as sort of giving you a more rounded villain. I thought she was great as well.
The villain, yeah, she had like, and actually you missed one scene when you brought Oscar out, but there was a scene where, like, we see the villain's mom saying, like, the villain said to her mom, like, I don't want to hurt the dragon and I want us to be united. And the mom was like, no. And the mom was really harsh to her. So we also had, like, the parental odds stacked against her. And then, like, it was so cool. And I didn't want to say it before spoilery, because it is a spoiler, albeit I'm sure it's in the trailer. But I loved when Awkwafina, the dragon, turned into a human, and it was an animation of Awkwafina.
Yeah,
it was really unexpected.
It looks
so like her.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It feels like there's... if you look through the voice cast on IMDb, there's a lot of familiar... Like, Benedict Wong is in here as Tong, the guy in the village.
I was wondering who he was.
Familiarity there.
Oh, my God.
I feel like they drew on some of the voice actors'
features. The other thing Oscar said he loved, which we loved too, was that... There's a baby. There's a naughty toddler, but who's totally self-sufficient.
Kick-ass baby.
Like that baby.
Con baby. As
that
she was
baby
described.
Was so cool. And like, there's another little thing that Oscar loves. Is like, there's a boy. He's probably like 6 or 7, and he's like the captain of a ship. And it's that wonderful fantasy that you see in any good kid's story, whereby like, it only works when they are not with their parents. Yeah. Like any good kid story you think about from like the Famous Five to Raya and the Last Dragon, there is an absence of a parental figure because we need to see the kids thriving on their own and like working together, and that's what's interesting. And like when they only got a grown up right at the very end. And I just love that, like, they're all just trying to get back to their family, but they're like also self-sufficient. Obviously it's absurd that a baby is self-sufficient, but also hilarious. Really unique though. I've not seen that before.
Yeah,
except for like Boss Baby or something similar.
I liked all the supporting characters. I like that it was this, you know, as you say, a fantasy journey of going to all these regions and picking up a different character from each. It's very,
and also,
you know,
very much like any good fantasy, like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or whatever. Like, she has to pick up this five fragments of this jewel, and they all have to be joined together at the end. And I love that. Like, I want my kids seeing fantasy tropes because it's a brilliant
Same,
genre.
I'm fine. And there's like, yeah, very tried and tested formulas here, but with like very entertaining, just beautifully visually gorgeous. Insanely, just like look the real world.
Yeah, and it made me want to go to
great
Asia.
Great characters, lovely emotional moments. So I'm like, I'm fine with tropes and fantasy storytelling and familiarity as shorthand to bring you a fully well-rounded experience, which this was. It was
and then
really
it all
satisfying.
Was brought together in a really unique way and like beautiful.
Yeah.
And Disney is really, you know, doing their best to right the wrongs that they've perpetrated for a very long time on screen. And like, I had this other wonderful moment of like, God, when I was the kid's age, when I was Oscar's age, I was going to see, like, The Little Mermaid, you know.
I remember seeing The Little Mermaid.
Terrible movie in retrospect about a woman who basically gives up her voice to be with a man. Like, that's what I was watching as a kid. Look what they're watching now. And, like, that's amazing. That's in our lifetime.
She was my first crush.
exactly,
what I was doing.
Because all she was a sexual object.
Yeah.
So, of course, she was your first crush. But anyway, thank you everyone for
listening. Musical numbers in Little Mermaid though.
The musical numbers in Little Mermaid are awesome. Thank you everyone for listening. Let us know what you thought of it, where you watched it, if you've made it back to the cinema yet. We've had loads of messages from you guys after we posted that we went to see Sound of Metal in the cinema, and everyone's like so happy to get back, and our Irish listeners, you'll be back soon. So yeah, it's just amazing. Put such a smile on our faces.
Right, I mean, it's just like so uplifting.
Yeah.
And just to have experienced it as a family, as a day out, just makes me so happy again to have the cinema open.
Yeah.
And to have suddenly the future feels a bit brighter.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, I just hungry for it now. I want to bring our boys as much as we can.
And I know people were like, oh, after the pandemic, when everything's going to be on streaming services, like people's habits will have changed. No, people love going to the cinema.
Yeah,
it's a day out, it's a night out, it's, you know,
honestly, this might be controversial, but like, I realise they won't get the numbers anymore, so perhaps the mass market thing is not going to be viable. But I'll pay more for a really good night out cinema experience.
I mean, they have to socially distance, so they're losing money. I wouldn't personally, you know, I'd appreciate if they put up ticket price. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But then
you've got the choice as a consumer, because you can also watch it at home if you don't want to pay more.
I actually think it's the best of both. Yeah. I like that they're available in multiple places. And also, I'm hoping that them being available on like streaming platforms will stop people illegally streaming and actually pay for movies. Because if they're there,
I feel like illegal streaming is at an all-time low. Anyway, they've kind
really?
Of the stream. Yeah, the streaming services kind of nipped that. Oh, maybe I'm being.
I feel like you're completely wrong. Have you met anyone in their teens or twenties?
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'm being naive.
You're being completely naive. Yeah. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review if you have a moment. We would hugely appreciate it.
And go to patreon.com/thecinemile if you want to hear us talk about Jaws for an hour. That's what we did.
And lots of other movies and TV reviews over there. And of course, we're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Cinema.
Yeah. Bye, everyone. See you soon.
I just shape changed.
Dragons can do that?
Look how close my butt is to my head. It's going to make digestion so much faster.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Erios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.